Today we're back into this series of Have Faith in God, and that's something Jesus said. Jesus said, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, to his disciples, have faith in God. Most of you remember that was the fig tree incident where he spoke to the fig tree and it withered by the next day, and he did that because it had no fruit on it. So some people say the reason for that was he was making an example for the nation of Israel, the example out of that fig tree that it didn't produce any fruit, so the nation wasn't producing fruit either. Nevertheless, it still withered because he spoke to it. And the disciples, Peter especially, said, Lord, the fig tree, look, it's withered. The fig tree you spoke to is withered. And that's when Jesus said, a simple statement, have faith in God. That tells me he knew faith was at the root of everything he was doing. And that tree was an example of what happens when you have faith in God. Jesus said in one place in the Gospel of John that he never said anything he didn't hear his Father say. We know he was a big believer in the Word because at the temptation scene with Satan, he kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. So the Word coming in gives faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Word of Christ. And so Jesus said, have faith in God to these disciples. So when we look at that, we say, well, okay, well, how then or how does that faith thing work? How do I have faith in God and what's involved in that? Today we're going to look at an unusual example, a little bit of an unusual example. Usually, and we've talked some about some of the big examples out of the book of Daniel, and they're dramatic and they're, you know, big events. But this one's not quite the same, but this one has a real bearing on everything we do. This is Enoch. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, starting at verse 5, by faith, Enoch, a man named Enoch, was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. That's an unusual statement. Enoch was a man, we'll see more of that in a little bit in the Old Testament. And this says here, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, notice chapter 11. Chapter 11 is about faith. And so somehow Enoch had a faith in God, enough faith in God, that he didn't even have to die. Now some people say, well, that couldn't be. That's just impossible. Well, God does the impossible sometimes. And it kind of messes with sometimes with our theology about, well, Jesus was the only one we know raised from the dead, and everybody else dies. Well, there were some raised from the dead, and Enoch says here, Enoch didn't even die. How could that be? You see, if you have faith in God, he will do some things that may wrinkle everybody else's brain cells. They may say, that just can't happen. That's not my theology. How could a man not die? What did they do with his body? Where did his body go? We assume it went to heaven. By faith, Enoch bypassed death somehow by faith. Well, what is faith? If you're in Hebrews 11, you go to verse 1. Now, faith is being sure. Verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. Faith is being what? Certain of what we don't see. Sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith looks beyond what the eyesight can see. Faith looks beyond what you hope for to what you have faith in, what you're going to believe in. And so Enoch somehow got to the point where he believed in God so much that he said to himself, evidently, I'm not going to have to die. I'm going to bypass this. I mean, most people I know would say, that'd be a nice thing to do if I could just get out of here and go to heaven and not have to go through death. Enoch experienced that. Then in verse 6, we're still in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Or at the end of verse 5, rather. Before he was taken away. Now, this says he was taken from this life in verse 5. Taken, and I think you saw that on the screen. Literally, the Greek says translated or transferred. He got translated. If I'm translating, somebody's translating, I'm speaking English, and somebody's translating into Spanish, what's happening? My words don't go in Spanish. Somebody else has to put them into Spanish. Enoch was transferred or translated from this life to another life all of a sudden. He just went. I mean, it just split second, I guess, all of a sudden wakes up in heaven. He's in another world. And he didn't have to die. Then it says in the end of verse 5, before he was taken from this life, before he was transferred, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, you don't read much about that. We'll go back to the Old Testament in a minute and read in the Old Covenant. But it says here, he got to the point where God was so happy with Enoch that God said, well, just come on up here. Come on in my living room and we'll just spend the rest of eternity together. He pleased God. Then the writer of Hebrews says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without what? Faith. You can't please God. You can't enjoy fellowship with God. You can't enjoy any relationship with God. You cannot enjoy answered prayers. You cannot enjoy having a closeness to God that has just set you on fire. You can't enjoy that. You can't have that. You can't have any kind of relationship with God that makes God happy and makes you happy unless you have faith. So this faith thing with God is a big deal. It's a big deal whether you have faith or not. You say, well, what is faith? Faith is you hear God saying something and you believe it and then you act on it. You talk it and you act on it. Somehow Enoch got in his head that he could just go right on into heaven and would bypass death. And in that, he said to himself, I guess, maybe God told him he could come up there, but he's processing all this. And he's saying, that's exciting. I'm going to do that. All of his years of walking with God, he had developed his faith. And in developing his faith, it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without that commodity, without that quality, without that thing called faith, you and God don't have anything in common. Did you know without faith you can't even be saved? Without faith you can't even be a Christian? Without faith you can't even come into the kingdom of God? You can't do it. When I was growing up in church, we had this five-finger exercise. Remember that? You hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Remember those? Some of you remember that, right? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You hear, and what's next? Believe. That's what the Bible says. Faith, believing, comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. If you hear God, you have a chance then. You have an opportunity to put faith in God. It's your choice. God's not going to open your head up and pour it in. Now, he's going to pour his word into you if you'll listen. You're not going to catch faith like the measles. Or like a backache, you're going to get faith intentionally. It's intentional. You have to decide. You have to want it and decide to have it. And you have to say, that's my life goal, is to love God with all my heart. Didn't Jesus say that? What's the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Think about that. All your heart and your inner being, all your soul, your personality, all your heart, your soul, your mind, all your thinking loves God. And your strength, everything you have in you, is leaning in toward loving God. And when you do that, you do it by faith. That's how Enoch did it. You do it by faith, and when you do it by faith, God is pleased. And everything he has is open to you by faith. So think about Enoch. We look at this, and by faith Enoch was taken or translated from this life. On the next slide, I put this here. He walked with God. That's how he developed his faith. Genesis chapter 5. Think about that. Genesis chapter 5. We're going back to Genesis, all the way back to the Old Covenant. And Genesis chapter 5, it says this about Enoch. Did you know Enoch was Methuselah's father? What do you know about Methuselah? Oldest man in the Bible, almost 1,000 years old. So that's not possible. You've got to remember, Enoch and Methuselah and even Noah lived before the flood. And when the worldwide flood happened, something changed about our environment. You know, we worry about global warming, environmental change. But the biggest environmental change in history was when the great flood happened, and people didn't live to be 800-900 years anymore. They lived more like a little shorter than that. Later on, it says 120 years. All right, look at Enoch. This is Genesis chapter 5. and verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. I wonder if Methuselah was a problem child. It says, after he had Methuselah, he walked with God. He got in his prayer time, right? How long did he walk with God? 300 years. So he walked with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, this is Genesis 5, verse 23. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. He just didn't exist anymore. They couldn't find him. They couldn't find any trace of him. Couldn't find hide nor hair of Enoch. He'd gone. There was no need for a funeral. They couldn't have a funeral because they didn't have a body. He's gone. How did he leave? Well, Genesis doesn't actually mention faith. Hebrews does that. But what does Genesis mention that Hebrews doesn't? He walked with God. So how do you walk with God? Well, you walk with God in a lot of ways, but primarily you have to have a relationship with God. What's a relationship? You do that all the time, don't you? You have relationships with people. You have a good friend, some family relationship, something. School is starting back up, and a lot of kids are going back to school, and maybe their best friend won't be at that school. Maybe the best friend moved out of town, and now these kids got to start up trying to find another friend. And some people are good at making friends, right? Some people are good at that, and they want to talk to everybody and make friends. Some are not so good at making friends. How do you make a friend? Your mama probably told you to be friendly. So how do you make a friend? Well, I got this friend at school, but we're not in the same classroom. And we don't eat lunch together, but we're good friends. We don't eat lunch together, and I really don't talk to him even at school. And, you know, for that matter, we don't ever text, and we don't ever talk, and we don't ever send emails. We don't ever get on the computer together. He's one of my best friends. You say, not possible. How can you have a friend? How can you have a relationship with anybody you're not talking to? How can you have a relationship with anyone you're not listening to? Conversation. That's how come so many kids say, we did it when I was growing up. So many, what little feeble way we could do it, but kids today start dating. Boy, they burn that phone up. They're talking all the time, all day long, all the time. And friends, and they're texting, and they're just they're conversing with each other. They're having conversation with each other. They're talking. And in their talking, they learn about this one, and this one learns about them, and they become friends, we hope, or they eventually, that's what dating is all about. Why do you take people on a date that you'd like to know better? You say, well, they want to go on a date. She might be the one, or he might be the one, so let's go on a date. Guess what happens? Talk. Some people will say, I've heard guys saying, well, I just don't say much. I'm just real quiet. I don't talk a whole lot. Watch them on that date with that girl they're trying to impress. They talk, right? I did. I talked Judy into marrying me somehow. And I couldn't say very much. People said, oh, my dad called me an old solemn judge, solemn old judge, because I hardly said anything. How do you have a relationship? You talk. And you listen. How did Enoch walk with God? He talked to God a lot. He listened to God. A 300-year prayer session, I guess. And he got so close to God, they got to be such bonded, close people. And God's not a person, but you know what I mean. They got such a close relationship that all of a sudden Enoch is evidently walking along one day and he just goes right on in. Did you know Jesus did that in a sense? At the Transfiguration, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he said his clothing began to glow, and his face began to be like as bright as the sun. And the disciples, there were three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. And Moses and Elijah showed up, and Jesus talked to them. Jesus had one foot in heaven and one foot still on the earth, and he's talking to Moses and Elijah who are in heaven. I suspect that's probably what happened to Enoch. Enoch's walking along one day, and that next step puts that foot down in heaven, looks back, and here he goes. They didn't have a funeral. They couldn't have one. They didn't have a body. Amazing. How'd that happen? Faith. Well, how did his faith get there? He talked to God a lot. He listened to God for 300 years. Now, we don't have 300 years probably, but we can do the same thing. He walked with God. In fact, I put here Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, Noah did too. How did Noah get saved from the flood? Chapter 6, still in Genesis, we're in 5, go to chapter 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. He walked with God. So he walked with God. What's walking with God? Do you want to walk with God? Would you like to have a walk with God? Would you like to walk? I get that impression like Adam and Eve in the garden. They talked to God, walked with God. God, the Father loves you, and he wants to talk to you. And, you know, you see families where kids get estranged from the family, and they won't call up, and they won't talk anymore, and they won't come back home, and they just, it's a sad story, isn't it? And mom and daddy may want that, but the child doesn't want it. It's sad, isn't it? It's sad when we don't want to talk to our Father in heaven, when we don't want to build this relationship. We don't want to walk with him. Walking with God is almost like you've got God and you've got Enoch, and they're walking along in this relationship, and now they're walking along in a paradise. He's in the paradise of God, like Adam and Eve were before they sinned. He walked with God. Noah walked with God. In fact, there's a prophet here. Micah the prophet said this. What does it take to please God? He wrote this, to act justly with justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. He said that makes God excited when you do that. That pleases God. Jude chapter 1, I don't have time to go into that one, but you can read, there's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude verse 14 and 15 talks about Enoch. And one of the prophecies, you can read it later, one of the prophecies that Enoch gave. Enoch was a prophet. We don't know much about Enoch, but we know he was a prophet. We know he was a righteous man, a godly man. And we know he walked with God for 300 years, and we know he bypassed death by faith. By faith. I put this slide here, for we also are translated by faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says this. For he, God, has rescued us, or translated, literally in the older versions we use the word translated. The Greek says translated. For God has translated us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. God has done what for us? Just like old Enoch got translated into heaven, we got translated into the kingdom of God. How? By faith. It takes faith. Hear, believe, repent, all of that. It takes faith to be translated into the kingdom of God. I want you to see this one in 2 Corinthians, which we'll kind of close it out with this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, a verse everybody's heard, probably. We walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. Did you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where you find that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is talking about us leaving our bodies and being with Christ, going to be with Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We know, Paul says, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. He's talking about your body. Will your body be destroyed one day? You'll leave it behind. It's like an old tent that wears out, Paul says. Because Paul was a tent maker. He knew about that, didn't he? And this old tent wears out, and you roll it up, put it aside, and you go get a nicer building. He says that's going to happen to us. Meanwhile, we groan, verse 2, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Resurrected body in Jesus, right? We're going to be just like Christ. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. That's why we wear clothes. We don't want to be found naked. For while we are in this tent, this body, We groan and we're burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So he said a lot of our problems come from the fact that we've got these bodies. And we've grown. And once in a while you're in an old house and you hear it sort of creak and pop. Does your body sometimes creak and pop? One guy said, I make a whole lot more noise getting up than I used to. You know, we all kind of experience that sometimes. Paul said the old thing we live in, called a tent, this old body, we groan. That's kind of like Romans 8, isn't it? We sort of groan, and we want something better. These folks lying up in nursing homes and in hospitals, and then we get a bad back or we hurt ourselves, and we just kind of, you ever known, people say that a lot. You get a bad headache, people don't want to deal with it. You're just griping, you complain all the time if you got a bad headache. These bodies cause us to groan, he says. Why are we groaning? What if this is the way it's supposed to be, we would be happy with it. And we wouldn't groan. But he said it's not the way it's supposed to be. Adam and the devil brought this on us. So we groan. Why are we groaning? We're waiting for a better day. Waiting for what? A new body. A glorified body. I suspect Enoch will get a new body one day. It'd be like Jesus' body, right? So we groan because we're waiting for to be translated ourselves into that new body. Verse 5. Now it is God, which says at the end of verse 6, that what is mortal, that's your body, right? Mortal, mortality, may be swallowed up by life. Your body's going to be swallowed up by life one day. You'll get a body that will never die, never groan, never hurt, never have tears, never have any problems again with your body, never have pains and hurtings and have to be confined somewhere because you can't stand up. None of that again. Swallowed up by life. Swallowed up by life. But now, verse 5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Deposit. If I'm going to buy something from you, and you have a nice truck I want, and I come over and I look at it and say, yeah, I'll give you the money for it. And you say, but I got three other people who want to buy it too. If you give me $500, I'll hold it for you. We call that a deposit, don't we? So I give you the $500, you say, okay, I won't sell it to anybody else. Till you come back, pay me the rest. Has God given us a down payment? He's given us a down payment on a glorified body just like Jesus' body. What's the down payment? You have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works in us. The Spirit will fill you with love and joy and peace. When the Spirit works in you, you say, oh, that's a little bit like heaven's going to be. That's a little bit like what God is like. I'm walking in his shoes a little bit because his Spirit is in me. Yes, the Spirit is the deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. So what do we do? Verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Did old Enoch walk by faith? And not by sight. He couldn't see heaven, but he walked by faith that it was his. He couldn't exactly see where he was going to go when he got translated. He didn't know exactly how God was going to be or what God was going to look like in a sense, but he just hung on to the vision by faith. That's a powerful. You know, we've talked about other faith stories that were powerful. Lion's den, fiery furnace. But this took some faith for Enoch to say, I don't think I'm going to have to die like everybody else. I think I'm just going to step on into heaven one day. He believed that. I know he believed that because of Hebrews 11 said he got it because of his faith. He caught a vision for that. Nobody else has much. So if you're believing something that sounds outrageous and you can find it in the Bible, keep believing it. You're going to get over that disease or that problem or that issue, whatever it is. Keep believing it. Old Enoch just hung in there. It's a quiet little story stuck over there in Hebrews 11. It's not in a lion's den, and he's not killing a bear and a lion like David did. and it, but this is quite a feat of faith. Nobody else I know did that. Now, Jesus died and was raised. That's more faith than Enoch had. But my goodness, do you see what faith can do? If faith can get an old patriarch back then, you notice he only lived 300 years. His son lived 900 and some odd. So his life kind of was short compared to the people around him. God just took him on out. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. We're still in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we're confident that's better. So we make it our goal to please Him. Why? Because my goal is to leave the body one day and go be with Jesus. And then later the resurrection. But He said, so while I'm here, what's my goal? Please Him. Make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Make it our goal to do what? Please Him. Enoch, it says, in Hebrews 11, was found to be pleasing to God because he walked by faith, and God let him have what he was wanting, what his vision was, what his desire was, to get out of this earth and be with God. And he got it. And he got it by faith, didn't he? What does that say to us? If we walk by faith every day, walk by faith in a relationship with God, walk with God, our vision for who we are going to be, we're going to have those old covenant saints who are in heaven standing around looking at us and marveling and saying, look at these bodies they got. Look at these bodies they have. They're just like Jesus. The angels are going to stand around and look at us and say, how come they get that? We angels don't get that. How come they get to look like God and we don't look like God? Oh, we have a destiny. We have an amazing destiny God has planned for us. And Paul says, walk by faith. We walk by faith. You can't see it yet. You can't see. That's what stumped some people. You can't see it yet. You can't see it yet. Well, guess what? You don't have to see it yet if you have faith. You see it in your spirit. You see it in your heart. You see it, but not with these eyes. Oh, that stumps a lot of people in the Christian life, doesn't it? I prayed yesterday for this, that, and the other, and I don't see it yet. Oh, just keep waiting and just keep working and keep walking by faith and you'll get there. We walk by faith and not by sight. So did Enoch. And boy, he's happy now, isn't he? Are you going to be happy when you get the result of your walking by faith? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. Hey, this is more than just church. This is more than just church / social club. This is amazing. This is like we read in Revelation earlier. The wedding supper of the Lamb. We are clothed in white. And as we're clothed in white for that day, the wedding supper of the Lamb is going to be about us. It's going to be about us. So keep walking by faith. Walking by faith. And we will get what Enoch got. We will please the Lord, and we'll be translated right where we want to be. Father, we are grateful to you for all this that you've done for us. We apologize to you, Father, that our faith is so weak at times. We ask you to help us fall in love with your word. Help us fall in love with your word, maybe all over again. Maybe there was a time when we were in love with your word and wanted to read it all the time, and we've lost that. Help us to get it back. We know, Father, that with your word, we can walk by faith. With what you're doing in us through your spirit, we can walk by faith and be translated to the place you want us to be. Thank you, Father. We ask that all the seed that's been planted today by your word and been watered by the Holy Spirit, that all this seed will grow into great fruit in our lives and in the life of this church. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.